Hey, how are you, Bob?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. How's your, where, you in Florida?
I'm in Indiana still.
Oh, in Indiana?
I'm in Indiana until Thursday. Then I go to Nashville on my way to Florida.
All right. And is what's in Indiana?
Well, that's where I produced. I mean, I was actually produced in Boston as an FA for 7 years. Then I moved into management and came out to Chicago and then Indiana, and I've been here for 33 years.
Okay, so Indiana is home base. Is that right?
Indiana's really home base, but we're moving to Nashville because my daughter's there with her and my granddaughter.
Yeah, all right. So Florida, Boca Grande is a 6 month deal, is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you there? You there for like, as they call it, the season, the November to May type time frame? Is that right?
Exactly. You even know the term, the season.
The season? Oh yeah. Yeah, I've got. What's that?
There for the season.
Yeah. So coming up on it. So when will you land for the season? You'll be when we head down.
I actually have to go to. You have to be there to vote. And I got to, I'm on the island foundation board, and I'm based at the island school boards. So I need to be there for the fourth. 6th and 6th. Okay, November 4th and 6th. And
okay,
the vote.
So you vote, is that right? You got to put your votes in for your memberships?
No, I vote for my congressman and senator. And I'm a Florida resident.
Yeah, and that gets you a nice tax status too, of course, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So I'll be down at the, I've been talking to people in Florida pretty much all morning. I'll be down to the boat show in a couple weeks. And I was at the Annapolis boat show, two weekends ago. And I've got a prospect who is a, he's a second generation owner of a yacht company. It's called Total Marine, and just in prospecting a couple of years ago at the show, it turns out he has a, I don't know if I've told you about him, but he's his wife was a, let's see, what do you call it, a not a marathoner, but a what's the dual sport? Yes, she's a triathlete. And she was like big time competitive. Anyway, she got hit by a car while she was on her bicycle, like I forgot, out in Colorado or something like that. And so she got a settlement for $5 or $6 million, and so this guy who is the owner of the company, that's his wife's money, and they're not extraordinarily happy with how it's being managed currently, so there may be an opportunity there. So, meeting with him and talking to him.
Is she okay?
Yeah, I think she's fine. I think she doesn't have really good use of her, like, right arm, right or left arm. I can't remember which arm it was. It's a good question. Yeah, that's the same thing. She did live. I think, and I don't know how much she's truly handicapped or, how that works out. But, it's up to you. I think she's back competing now somehow. Anyway, yeah, talking to an attorney this morning, Bob Allen Associates. He does a lot of yacht work around the world, actually, and just interesting community. So he's an attorney, and he does primarily yacht work, and he does events in Cannes, in Monaco, in Palm Beach. So in all the shows, all the big yacht shows, you know, those are it. Cannes, Monaco, Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and maybe I'm missing one or two overseas. But he goes literally around the world and does events with all these people. Now, there's a company called Northrop & Johnson who is a yacht brokerage company, and I did some kind of one-off sponsorship events with them, but they were looking for, you know, a full-fledged sign-on with sponsorship from Wells, and I just couldn't get the people here to do it. It's like $75,000 per year. But I'm looking at their website right now. Are you in front of the computer?
Yeah.
So you just go to www.northropandjohnson.com. I mean, these are the people I want to be networking with. I don't understand the rum aspect of it, but it's a company called Thai Rum. I know the owner of it. I still can't figure out what these guys do. I mean, I guess rum serious. All right. But then there's a Corcoran Real Estate Group. They do a lot of real estate business in the Hamptons. Lauderdale Marine Center. Are you on the website?
I'm just getting there.
Anyway, long story short, they've got a Marine Center there, Lufthansa First Class. They've got a private plane, like a NetJet. It's called Nicholas Air. And I don't know what Zlander does. And then they just landed Northern Trust. So Northern Trust is in there now. So I'm sure I'm going to talk to the CEO, and you can be like, yeah, Northern Trust is bought your seat, bro. You're out.
Yes.
But anyway,
yeah, they just spent the $75,000, right?
Right. Well, I could not get people here to buy into the that's okay, though. I mean, it's kind of tricky because when you put all your eggs in one brokerage company's basket, then you have the possibility to alienate the others. Anyway, as you know, as I've said before, it's kind of a hobby of mine, but yeah, it still stings a little bit to see that Northern Trust, because I know these guys. I mean, these guys, are you kidding me? There's got to be cross-pollination here. Private jet, right? Big real estate, Hampton's firm, right? I mean, Lauderdale Marine Center is like where a lot of the super yachts get all their work done. I think they're smart. I mean, I think the director of marketing strategic partnerships is a smart guy. I think they've done a good job. And I think they're going to share a lot of business.
So what did they offer you for that $75,000?
So you literally go to all the shows around the world. They set up really nice tents. You know, there's kind of a floating dock, if you will. Some of the nicest tents you've ever seen. And all around at these shows, there are, you know, 10, 20, 40, 50, $100 million yachts that they are trying to sell. So they're getting, it's traffic. You're in the traffic of their clients, pure and simple. That's all it's about. You either have to get in there and play hard. It's hard to just do one-off stuff, right? I mean, you got to get in that network and in that crew. But anyway, go.
Let's say you had spent it out of your pocket. Okay?
Say that again?
Let's say you spent that $75,000 out of your pocket. Okay?
Yeah. It'd take a lot of money.
You'd have had to go to every event, which would have cost you another... To go to all these events in all of the world would have probably cost you another $100,000, say.
Yeah, probably close to it. Maybe 50. Yeah. Oh yeah. There's no way I could do it. No way I could do it with family and all that stuff. No, not a chance. No.
You couldn't have gone to every event.
No. No way.
And it wouldn't have been worth. You had to go.
No, it wouldn't have. No. I guess my point is, it's just a I mean, that's if I really had the time and the money, I think it could be a home run getting in front of those types of people, right?
Let's say you have the money because your business, all you have to do is bring in one client, you pay for the $75,000, you bring in two, you pay for the whole marketing. It's not a matter of money, it's a matter of time.
Yes.
You have the time.
Yeah, that's the problem. The problem is getting away from the family and doing all that. It just is no way. Yeah. It's nice to dream about, though, but yeah.
It's a question of if you have, your kids are grown and the two of you can go.
Right.
Then. Then it would work. It'd be fun. Right? Be fun then. You there?
I'm here, yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, hold on. I apologize. That was my wife. Just make sure everything was okay. Okay. Sorry about that. So yeah, but I'm still going to go down there and you can troll around and find stuff. I don't need to spend $200,000 just to do that. So, anyway.
Right. Northern Trust could be there, but have terrible marketing people.
And I know the owner of the company and I know several people there, so I can still troll. But I remember I spent like 20 on the sponsorship, and I came away from there wondering, it's one of these things where you have to be there, and you have to be pretty consistent about it, and you just don't know what you could pick up. I still have one prospect that's going to sell his company at some point for about $100,000, and I've met with him several times, and but that'd be worth every minute of it, whenever he does it. So anyway, all right, back on track.
Well, I like the way you're thinking. You're thinking correctly. All right, let's think about how you're going to run that time at the boat show as an example.
Yeah.
What will you do there, and how will you make an effective use of your time?
That's a good point. So I have put together all of my contacts in that arena, including attorneys, including actual yacht brokers, including prospects. So the attorneys, yacht brokers, prospects. And the yacht brokers run several different companies. And then also boat brokerage company owners, right? Some of them personally, like this guy I was talking about, owns Total Marine. He'll be down there. I saw some of the guys in Baltimore that are going to be down there. And what I'm really trying to do is talk with each of the yacht brokers, and I'm trying to set up specific times or kind of specific times where, hey, do you mind if I come and just hang out with you and spend some time with you at the because they have these nice floating tents, right? There's a bar, there's pretty girls they have walking around, all fancy leather seating. And so my best success has been meeting people, right, and real estate brokers, by the way. There's a lot of real estate brokers down there and cars, ultra high-end car salesmen. You want to meet the end user, right? You don't want to just meet the COI. You want to meet some end users, and I have definitely met some end users. So I think going and hanging out with some of these guys and just, possibly meeting who they meet. It's really, you're fishing, totally fishing. right? You're prospecting live. It's almost like you're working on a Ferrari car lot, right? So you're going to go hang out with the Ferrari salesman, and hopefully you meet some of his clients. I think that's the bottom line.
All right, so what are you going to do for them?
That's a good question. Other than
drinking their beer.
Yeah, I don't drink it, so I won't be drinking their beer. Okay, hold on 1 second. I apologize.
Well, that's smart.
Rob, I'm sorry about that. Okay. I had my daughter use my card this week, and I literally took her shopping. She had a dance to go to. I took her shopping, and I was worried about this. She took the card once and brought it back, and then she took it a second time, and I don't think I got it back from her, so now I got to go through the hassle of canceling that card and getting another one. So lots of fun there. So anyway, sorry about that.
Can't you get it back from her?
She said she gave it back to me. I said, no, not the second time. So, yeah. You can imagine how much fun that is. Yeah, so anyway.
Okay, so back to what you're going to do for them.
So, I mean, the talk is, what can I give back to them is hopefully referring clients to them as well. I don't really have any super yacht buyers, though, right? I mean, that's not really, that would be hard initially. It's kind of like I've got to get in that realm, right? And now, when I went to Monaco a couple years ago, I met two guys. One's a yacht attorney, and another one is a jet broker. And I keep in touch. The jet broker actually probably has more leg here at Wells than yachts do. So what I mean by that is we do actually have an aircraft team. So we talked about that, right? And so, but they all kind of run together. So a lot of times, if you've got a yacht owner, he's going to have a jet. So even if I can't immediately do it, if he's a certified rich guy, as we call him, and that's basically, if he's got money, we'll do anything. It's just getting the at bat.
Right. All right, so you can be a connector.
Correct.
Okay. If you haven't read the book, The Go-Giver, go get it and read it. And it's not the greatest business book I've read in 10 years, but it is a great book to understand your role in working with this group.
Okay.
When you read the chapter on the connector, read it with intention. Okay. So that's the idea, is that you become very good at what you do.
Yeah.
And then you become referable. And that's where Supernova comes in. And then you... and then you connect others, and you give referrals. So you give introduction, which is connecting. You connect with people that need each other. So you're not going to be able to help the business, the boat broker at the boat show with clients that are coming to the boat show.
Right.
But you can help the aircraft guy who's back home when... you're talking to somebody and they say, yeah, and I'm driving a Gulfstream, you know, or I'm buying this. And
yeah.
You said, I've got a guy, you know, who's a good friend, and you can trust him, and he is, you know, he'll take care of your financing. It's so interesting. I just met a guy that came to help us move, and he helps all the higher net worth people in our community move.
He helps all the way.
He's a mover, right? You know, he's not a mover and shaker. He's literally a mover.
Yeah, he literally helps people. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so you and I talked about this. We talked about building a concierge practice.
Yes.
Of enthusiastically endorsed professionals.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what you're really doing here.
Yes.
So you need to find the best broker for yachts. The best. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You need to find the best broker for airplanes. You need to find the best of everything. The best attorney. So you're interviewing when you're there.
Okay.
All right. So you're connecting, but you're really interviewing to build this concierge practice for the ultra wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they need? They need somebody they can trust who's willing to do the when this guy packs, he has a team of women that is specifically trained to pack China and other things when they come in.
Interesting.
He said he moved a multi-million dollar art exhibit art collection by a gal here, you know, the Simon Malls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fred Simon lives here, the wife of Herb Simon.
Oh, Bob Simon?
Herb Simon.
Okay, Herb Simon. Okay.
Yeah. David Simon is the guy that I think he's still running Simon Malls. But anyway, we did business with them. And
Simon Properties, right?
Correct, yeah. So this guy is the guy that helps with helps the whole family move.
Yeah.
And then they get introduced through a network of people. You know how he did it? Through the antique store.
Ah. Smart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. He made friends and did work for the antique dealer and did it in such a way that the antique dealer now refers him around. And he's got more work than he has to do. Now he can premium price it. So how did we get introduced to him? We got introduced from the antique dealer to my neighbor across the street to us. Okay, and we called him. We called him. He came. Oh, by the way, he turned out to be the son of, his name is Studley, Daniel Studley. His father, he's a mover. His father was a friend of my phone partner back in Boston, Dick Starbucks. They went to college together.
Oh,
and
wow.
I used to play golf with this kid's dad.
Hmm.
And here he shows up, and we asked him where he went to school, and he went to Norwich, and he said, you know, Dick Starbuck, you know, of a million people that graduated. Yeah, he's friends with my dad from Boston. How small a world is that? Now, he's going to move on, right?
Yeah.
But just think about it. Now I just checked that one off my list of worries, right?
Yeah.
When I move to Nashville, I'm not going to work because this kid's not going to screw it up because his dad's his friends of mine, you know?
Right.
So that's what you want. You know, you heard you want a friend in the diamond business. That's what you want to be for these guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So that takes...
By the way, if I'm looking at this, the go-giver. Is this, just make sure I got the right one for a press order. It's the Bob Berg and John David Mann.
Yeah, it's called the Go Giver, and it says instead of the Go Taker, it's the Go Giver. It's It's just a parable. It's not long. It's about 100 pages. It's a very easy read, but it's that's a brilliant idea. That and Give and Take. Give and Take by Adam Grant. So that's the real book in the last 10 years. That one is brilliant because that's the one that, you know, made me understand the value of having a network of givers, not a network of takers. Because in your business, in that business of yachts and all the rest, you're going to have a million takers. You're going to have a million people just want to get something for nothing, right?
That's right. And now, I don't want to be seen that way, of course. Yeah.
So you need to create value, so you need to have a great practice. You need to get referred in, and you need to get referred in by doing a really good job for one person in the group.
Yes.
Okay, so you've got to have somebody, whether it's a broker or somebody that's willing to work with you so that you can then get referred in.
Right.
Okay? Because you can waste a lot of time having fun and not doing anything.
Well, for sure. Yeah. And no doubt about it. I mean, walking around and gabbing and hamming it up and not getting anything done, for sure. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to go ahead and
do. Right. But you're fishing in the right pool, and once you're in and one person refers you to another, then you're in. That's it. It's
correct.
The club is $100 million.
Right.
Whatever.
But
that's where your concierge practice comes into place.
Mm-hmm.
So your practice, and then you have people that do the same thing. So you have a concierge travel agent, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That when they don't fly on their own jet, they know how to take care of them as if they're flying on their own jet.
Yeah.
All right, so they know where they will not be happy and where they will be happy. And so they book them, and they get them upgrades, and they, you know, these travel agents that are really good, they get automatic upgrades all over the place and do all kinds of wonderful things for their clients. So you got to have a travel agent that works with this level of people.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, it's a different mentality for sure than a guy, you know, the team work two or three or four.
Right.
Hey, question for you. I have a guy coming in that's going to help me with the trade. I apologize. He's supposed to be at 1:30. What would you recommend for me to really kind of go back and go through this again and make sure I've got everything down? Would you recommend I go back through the videos and really, you know, because there's so much stuff that you and I talk about that you almost couldn't even let. And how long do I have access to the videos?
You have it for a full year.
Okay.
Okay, now we're not at the end, but when we get to the end, I don't recommend that you sign up for... Look, if you want to do it intensely, we can work on a business plan and work on it every other week until we get it done, and then you have a concrete business plan. Or we can just meet every 2 weeks, which is really good, or we can meet once a month.
Okay.
But it's kind of like having a personal trainer. You need that to keep yourself on track and to get these ideas into the system. Into your system.
Yep. Yes.
Until you're really wasting your money. You know, you're.
Right.
I mean, yes, you've got a lot out of it, and yes, it's good for you, but you're not going to get the same level. This is. You know, I've spent 45 years working on this, right? You know, you've worked with me for less than a year. So the question is, you know, have you taken everything out of my brain? And the answer is not even close.
Not even close, yeah.
So what I've done is have people literally, when they took on an error or something, they go back through the whole program. I don't think they have to do that, but I have one team that's lined up and we meet every 2 weeks. And we're working on getting a concrete business plan written and then accountability and all the things that they need to make sure they're doing all the tools, using the tools that we gave them. Because it's really, you should take a minimum of 2 years with the program. It's very difficult to do. We used to teach it in 3 months. That was a joke. Now I teach it in a year. And the majority of people, they get the Supernova service part.
Yeah.
They don't really leverage all the tools I give them in the marketing part. The other thing is I'm coming out with a new book in December. It's going to have all the tools that you and I've talked about in written form.
Perfect.
So you can put in audio that you can, you know, listen to or watch or, you know, it's kind of great. So, that would be a great thing for us to then work from, because once you've read that, you're gonna hear the stories of people like you who use the tools and put them to work. And then you're gonna go, I want to do just what, you know, Alan did, or what this guy did, or what David did, or what Tom did, you know. So that's helpful. Okay? But you don't have to make that decision now, but look, I enjoy working with you, and you're a marketer, okay? You just need some of the disciplines. You need some of the disciplines and rituals around marketing because you have talent.
Yeah.
It's very hard. There's a lot of people that love my course but don't have the talent. You know the difference, right?
You got to have both. What is it? Talent is overrated. You can't teach talent, right? But, I mean, I think if you have reasonable skill and, you know, hunger, right? I mean, hunger to grow, then you can do it. But then there's that other piece of, you know, not getting off track or being haphazard. I think I have a tendency to get off track and get distracted and, you know, do something to a level 3, 4, or 5, and then come back and say, I still have a lot of work to do here, right? And so that's probably the classic ADD advisor mentality, right?
It's just like going to this show. You know, you got to go with it to the show with very solid intention.
Yeah.
You know, you
can come back and follow through. Yeah.
You can't be just going to the show thinking I'm going to meet Mr. Right. You know, it's like, ridiculous. There'll be plenty of hookers there for that, you know.
That's right. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know, when I go to the show, you know, my wife is kind of like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? I go to these things and, like I said, I don't drink at all, period. Not, I mean, like, when I say I don't drink, like, I don't have a drop in habit in 16 years. So there's no partying going on. In fact, I'll get up early and go work out. I'll come back and kind of sit, and it's kind of fun. I come back and sit and meditate. You know, I got my family around, nobody's messing with me, and I like get a blank piece of paper out and just diagram my movements, right? And then I'll come back, and this is where it gets kind of fun. I'll come back, and the whole time it's like I'm carrying on a dialogue. Everywhere I go, every person I talk to, it's kind of like, you know, I'm always like, you know, how can we work together where I can help you get a deal done, right? And, you know, we can grow together, right? And you know, it's all about working with the private client. As far working with them on a very holistic level. Because our mentality is we're not just going to lend someone money to buy a boat. We want to help them with complex financial matters. They're going to take a lot of coordination in terms of attorneys, in terms of accountants, in terms of structuring the portfolio, in terms of risk management, all that. And so I had a good conversation with one of the brokers that I'm going to meet with. And, and they appreciate that hard work, right? They appreciate being prospected like they were the client.
Right. Of course they do. They're prospecting themselves out there. And so they like to talk to you. All right, let me give you a little encouragement, okay?
Okay.
We in the island have it's a small account, $8 million worth of with Northern Trust. And
okay.
I've only been, I'm the chairman of the foundation. I've only been there a year, less than a year. So I've been there for two meetings, right? So we meet quarterly, and they show up quarterly, and they do a wonderful job, and they're doing a really good job with the portfolio, okay? Mm-hmm. But you would think that as chairman of the finance committee in charge of the portfolio, they would have reached out and talked to me. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If it were my, if I were coaching them, I would tell them to set up a 12-4-2.
Right.
The four meetings are in person with the whole committee, but you should be calling the chairman every month.
No question. And they haven't.
They not call me every month? They've never called me.
Wow. Wow. So, are you telling me this because there's an opportunity there, or are you telling me this
I'm telling you this because you're up against Northern Trust.
Understood. Understood.
And don't think that when somebody hires Northern Trust, all their problems
are going to be blown away.
They're not going to be blown away. They are nothing when it comes to service. Okay, I think they suck. They invite people to nice events and things like that. But when it comes to 1242, rapid response to problems or whatever, I don't know who they are talking to, but it's not me.
Wow.
So if I decided that, you know, I needed to have an RFP, request for a proposal, I could propose that, and my board would accept it. They would say, okay, let's put it out there. I don't want to go through that shit because it's a pain.
It is.
They don't pay me enough to do that, right? So I don't want to do it, but let me tell you something. Think of it as a scale, okay? On one side of the scale is all the reasons I want to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side was all the reasons I want to fire them.
Mm-hmm.
And as a board member, I'm constantly looking at the scale. And things are falling on one side or the other.
Yeah.
So every time you call, you put more weight on that side of the scale to offset the shitty market or the performance or whatever on the other side.
Right.
And when they don't call, then those other things just pile up, and then pretty soon it's like, screw them.
You do have some sense of stewardship, right? And you see, now I'm putting a little bit of my sales hat on. I mean, I could give you all the tools in the world to run that, which would make it extraordinarily simple, and a grading system that makes it really easy. It's almost like a matrix, right, where you have a weighted average of decision-making matrix. You have a weighted average of things that are important. And you rate them, and you come up with a statistical number. Performance is one thing, clearly. Service is another. You know better than I do what's important to a relationship like that. How are they doing on the performance side?
Oh, I think they're probably even for the year. I don't know. Okay. I'd have to look.
But they're about where they should be, or they're off, or what?
Well, I think most people... You know, that we're in aggressive stocks, we're up 15, 14, 12%, and now they're back to even after this correction. So, they were balanced, and, maybe they're up 3 or 4% at this point. So I don't think that they're going to lose because of performance.
Right.
But I'm going to get tired of them and want to replace them just because they are called. Or whatever. All I need is an excuse because I didn't hire them.
I'd love an excuse to get down to Florida more often. So if you're open for letting me take a swing at it, I'd love to do it.
Well, one of the did you I think I gave you that idea of going after CoStar, right?
You did, yes.
And so did you do it?
I have not made any headway into CoStar. I have not.
Okay, so here's one thing that would help me to decide that you are the right guy.
Okay.
That you listened to me and went and did something.
Good point. That's a good point.
Okay.
This is a good point. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. So I do know the guys. Hey, CoStar. I have not put in a cold call to them. So at UBS, there's a guy named Tom Wirtz. I don't know if you remember Tom Wirtz? Does that ring ring about you?
I don't think so.
Okay. Thank He's you. A Merrill guy, and he came over to UBS. So he had, they had, and I meant to tell you this last time I talked, but they had a deep vein in the CoStar. And so I know a lot of their business is over there. But you know what? I'm going to pick up the phone and make some calls on CoStar. Now I got to get a client from CoStar to convince you to let me manage your foundation money.
Well, at least tell me that you're a go-getter. Okay, one of the things that you got to realize is when they have a deep vein, that means they have 9 clients there, okay?
Right.
And how many employees do they have?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's joke, okay? I'm telling you, I have 9 guys working at Lilly, and none of them tripped over each other. I mean, I have 9. If I were in New York City, I would have 5 people making a living off of CoStar right now.
Wow. You own that stock, right? And they're doing really well, right?
Of course I do. It went from $75 to $400. And I think it's the right. So tell me that people in CoStar aren't fat and have a problem.
It's crazy.
Right? They need to diversify. Yeah. You know, structured products would be good for them. At least tell the story how they, you know, because it went from 420 to 385 now, 430 it was. Now it's 385, I think. And that's 50 real points that they're all looking at themselves going, why didn't I sell that at 320?
Right.
So now you've got them, moving on them, which is ready to sell. Now what you can say is, look, you can either sell it or you can do a structured product around it. You can put a collar on it or, you know, put some calls to protect yourself. Stuff like
yeah.
That. You know how to do it. But you need that kind of volatility. You need the volatility to get them to come off of, I'm fine. Well, you got it.
There's no problem. That's right.
Right. And I don't know every company in Washington, you know, I'm just saying that this is a winner.
Yeah.
And it's right there. You don't have to go to Miami or Monaco.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
You got people worth $100 million right there now.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just throwing it out. Okay.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Howard. Good talking with you. I'll talk to you next month. We'll have
yes,
some results from this. Okay.
Yes, sir. Let me know about your foundation. I'll give you a report on CoStar. You give me a report on the foundation. How about that?
Yeah, that's a deal. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah.